Welcome to the Seven Figure Leaders podcast. This podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners, and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. And there you'll find the link to apply. Welcome. And today we've got Laszlo from Bonus Eventus. Welcome, Laszlo.
Hi, Tom. Thanks very much for having me.
Pleasure to have you. Best place to start, why don't you tell us a bit about Bonus Eventus? So obviously, I've got your website in front of me, commercial and residential HVAC and M&E. Building maintenance, but perhaps you can give us a bit of a background as to what you do in a bit more detail and how you got into this.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, a lot of people are going to ask, like, Bonus what? What's the name from? Why is it? So Bonus Eventus means a good outcome or a successful empire. So, first of all of our customers will need to have a good outcome. Whatever we do, That's the target. So whether the job goes really well or any issues, the good outcome is always what's needed at the end. So this is what it means. I didn't want to call it Laszlo's plumbing business. Mm-hmm. So this is where it's all started. And it's heating, ventilation, air conditioning, commercial gas, what we do. We started from nearly 20 years ago from residential domestic plumbing works, basically, and then we worked our way up into commercial facilities management within these heating, ventilation, air conditioning. So we're just getting after another sort of blocks to look after, blocks of offices, blocks of flats. So it's going really well. It's all about quality and customer service. So we still keep today with a 4.5 million turnover and you know, a bunch of, I don't know how many sites we have exactly, but quite a lot. We still keep that personal touch, which is every customer has their contract manager and knows who to call. So we still have an office line, but actually you have a mobile number of a person who is your contract manager. And you can call that person any time of the day, even out of hours. So, yeah.
Okay, brilliant. So, how did you get into this?
It's a long story. Just to cut it short, as short as possible. My dad was a builder, so I've kind of grown up on building sites. I knew one thing, that I don't want to do building because that's what I kind of seen and knew. And I always wondered, like, oh, the electricians, they always kind of clean, you know, they always have a good job. They just walk in, walk out. And the gas safe engineers, they always felt like they're doing a higher type of job than the builders. So quite simply put, I was fascinated by the mechanical electrical works, how good they are. And when my dad said, okay, whatever you do, just don't be a builder, I thought, okay, I'm going to do electrical mechanical. So when I came over to the UK 23 years ago, before I was in Germany, but when I arrived in the UK, I started to let properties, property management, and then we started the M&E. So I had a few friends who were plumbers and electricians, and we just started the mechanical electrical works. And the rest is really history. We just build it up from, you know, a couple of small jobs into today's national service.
And in those early days, what did growth look like? Was it fast? Was it slow? Was it chaotic?
It was a fast grow because we managed to set up our limited company, our first limited company within six months time. So it was a very fast grow because one of our agents, estate agent, James, he said to me, "Leslie, do you know what? You guys are doing a good job. I've gone under 150 properties. Can you do the same?" So it was a very fast grow, and realizing that, you know, these property management companies actually need a trusted person to run their maintenance regime. So yes, it was a very fast grow since.
And is it specifically property maintenance companies that you look to service, or are there other clients that you work with?
99% of our client base are property managers, property management companies, or facilities management companies. So these are blocks of flats, blocks of offices, and any other commercial buildings, really. Wherever, every building needs a maintenance, either heating, ventilation, air conditioning, or electricals, or anything like that.
Mm. And so how did you scale past it being just you and the other guys that you started it with and into an actual team to the point you are now, where you're at, like you said, 4.5 million?
Yes. So there are stages to what we've been through. And what really has made a change in the last 5 years is using a software solution, which was our own software solution. I tested nearly more than 100 softwares out there, and we just ended up creating our own software. So we started from the beginning with shared Google Sheets, like probably everybody does, and, you know, work from emails. But when you reach working with sort of 10 people or 10 contractors and a couple of office people, that you just can't keep that up. You're going to be lost in translation every day, and you're going to make mistakes. So now we created basically a system where you can tag all your emails into a job. So it's a complete email system with a job management system, which plugs into Xero accounting system. So the entire process is closed in a circle.
And what's the system that you use?
It's our own system, so I named it Expedite FSM, Field Service Management. Expedite, yeah. Field Service Management.
Is that one that you white label and sell, or is that just your internal?
That is the one, yes, that we white label and sell, because after 2 years we've been using it, and it has improved individual profitability. And I think that this is really, if you just want to name one thing that you really need to be careful when you grow your business from A to B, is the individual profitability on jobs, on the contractors, and look at every aspect of profitability in the business, because that will affect cash flow, et cetera. So that made a massive difference in our business, that we can see job by job, item by item, and you can pull down reports on a daily basis. So wherever I am, I love traveling, wherever I am, I can just pull down a report every end of the day and look at the profitability by job by that person.
And how do you bill your clients? Are they fixed price? Are they based on hours?
We have hourly rates and we have fixed price quotations or day rates. So for example, a call out for a gas emergency or electrical would be a fixed price, a one-off, including the first hour on site. Anything else will be a fixed price quotation. So if we cannot fix that issue within 1 hour, within the first hour, we will let the customer know how much they will pay for that job. So basically we price it up for a fixed price quotation. So there are no surprises, argument or anything like that with the customer.
Mm. So you actually know pretty much the profit margin you're going to make before you do a job.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah, we have set profit margins in our system. Obviously, you can change it if you really want to, but the gross profit margins are set, so we can achieve the net profit margins that we want to achieve.
Yeah, exactly. In some industries, construction in particular, knowing what a business is going to make what the builder is going to make in terms of profit before the job starts is one of the hardest parts, because stuff gets out of control, and the clients want a fixed price. So if costs escalate during the project, sometimes it can be hard for them to actually recoup some of those costs.
Absolutely. For many years, I was a busy fool. We had 1% and then less than 1% actual net profitability in the company. And then I remember we were turning over 1.5 to 2 million and we had less than 1%. And I was like, okay, what's the point to do this? Yeah. So that's, you know, thanks for the system and obviously years and years of experience. Now we are well over the 10% and net profitability, which I think is great, and I'm quite happy with the company, with the people working in it, and the system as well.
Yeah, and so going back to the question of scaling, obviously you mentioned the CRM was a crucial part of how you scaled, but in terms of bringing people on payroll, managing your cash flow, making sure that you maintain the margins as you grew, how have you done that?
So. Okay, the cash flow. I never wanted to take on a loan, so I was always careful on an organic growth. So I was patient and rather have an organic growth than picking up all sorts of loans, etc. I'm not saying against it, but I think you just have to be very careful what you do, because you can pick up a loan and you can spend that money very quickly, and then you have an issue. Sorry, what was your question?
How have you scaled as you've gone over the years? And when you scale a business, you have to reinvest excess cash into the business, into payroll, into new systems, without running out of cash.
So every single time, even today, anytime we take someone on, a new member of staff, so now we nearly 40 members in the company. Every time we take someone on, we always have to look at the numbers and see if we can afford it, even today. And whether everything else is profitable in the business and as efficient as possible. So we need to look at efficiency, productivity. So how we scaled it up, literally just one by one. We managed to get always very busy, for even if it was just one office staff. That office staff got, you know, fairly busy up to 90-95%, and then we managed to take someone on who then you can offload your work and then just take on the next one and the next one. So what we do today, when we get to sort of 80%, so let's say one of the office worker who works with a client base gets to up to 80% or 85% busy, then we monitor this, how many jobs, how much time they have for certain additional things. And then we start implementing, we start looking for another person to help that person out and get them into the business. Or we need to let clients go who are not profitable and then free up some space like that.
Absolutely. Okay, that all makes sense. And how many people have you got on payroll at the moment?
We don't have too many on payroll. I believe it's 7. I need to speak to accounts. But I don't really believe in payroll. I maybe shouldn't say this on the radio, but I really believe in partnerships. And I was running all my businesses on a partnership basis. So I don't really believe in employment. I believe I paid them really well as a contractor, whether they are office staff or contractors. They're still working. They can work more hours. They can be flexible. And I believe in partnerships. And this is very much different than any other companies out there, probably. And this is probably why I don't want to be, I don't know, 50 million turnover company where you don't know the names of who you're working with. I probably never want to be that. I'd rather have 4 or 5 smaller businesses and know every one of them rather than, be a big corporate. I don't like that idea. And I've always wanted to treat everyone equal to me and just do their job. So they work as a contractor. But they've also been with us for some of them 10, 15, 20 years. So, and it's working really well. I believe in partnerships.
Yeah. Okay, great. And what do you think has been the hardest part of getting to where you are today in terms of that scaling journey?
It's people.
What part of people?
People management. To be able to listen to everyone, to be able to have a good relationship with everyone in the business, because you need that. To be able to see the levels in the business from the bottom to the top. And this is why I don't want too many layers of that business, because I think we, as long as you can keep it efficient, really personal, and you know everybody's sort of a bit of a personal life. A lot of directors probably won't agree with me, because who cares about other people's life? But I think you can understand if they have family member died recently or et cetera, you're not going to treat them the same way. Obviously, their productivity will go down. So you're going to have a chat with them how you can help. And I think that's a key aspect to know your clients.
Yeah,
like you know your employees or you know your colleagues, and be humble with them, and be just look after them, and they will look after you. And I think that is the message. That yeah.
And you said a few times that you don't want to grow a business to kind of 50 mil or so. What is the goal for you and the business?
So the goal is up to sort of 10 million, 15 million. I'm quite comfortable. I think we can do it with the current system and the current staff, because AI is obviously coming into play, which means we can triple up the efficiency. So we're already using AI for a lot of things, which cut down on, you know, writing emails, write out quotations by probably 5, 6, 7 times faster than we had. So I think it's going to be a great productivity tools. We still need to be very careful with AI, I think, how we use it and make sure that we got that human touch behind. But because of that efficiency improvement, with the same amount of staff, we can triple up the amount of work and probably, hopefully, profitability as well. So I think it's a great time to come, but I don't want to forget about the human touch and talk to humans, not to have an answer machine with AI and you know, you can't get hold of a human. So I'm always going to be careful with that. And that's the plan, to have a really good AI background, make it really efficient what we do. However, have that human touch and that productivity and efficiency behind it, that they want to talk to us, then you can pick up the phone and talk to Laszlo at any time. I don't want to lose that touch. However, you've got to be very fast and very efficient on paperwork, on attendance and everything else.
Mm. And in terms of doing the sales to get you up to that revenue mark, is that you doing the sales, or have you got a business development or salesperson?
I love business development myself. So we have 2 marketing ladies who are doing all the social media sites. I'm not going to go into it because it's the endless game. We do the usual social media, but it's still 99% of our customers will come by recommendation, word of mouth. It's still the old days. If we do a good job, they will likely to recommend us. So I think social media gets saturated. So we still have the 2 marketing ladies. They're doing a great job. However, myself, I like to do seeing customers, do some networking, and I love the buildings that we're working at. You know, some of them very, very high end, great buildings, and I'm very proud of doing the maintenance in these buildings and look after the customers that they on a daily basis. We just had a really good compliment on Friday, actually, about our engineers and the staff, and that just makes my day. It makes my mom really, you know, it's that's why we're doing it. It's the satisfaction of doing a good job. This is why we're doing it. It's not the money. It's not the how big is your company, whatever. It's the day by day satisfaction of you doing a good job, and I think that's important.
Amazing. Well, Laszlo, thank you very much for sharing all of that. Is there anything else you want to share with the audience? Anyone in particular that you're looking to get connected to, or that you might be able to support in their business?
I'm very passionate about our software. I spent a lot of money and a lot of time in my last 5 years. So I'm very passionate about helping small businesses, like we started from pretty much zero. But if they have just one staff in the office and you know a couple of engineers running around, and they're looking at the next stage, how to move their business from A to B, then I would love to help them and give them free advice and free of charge. They can use the software for a couple of months and see if it helps them. It's a genuine help I'm offering. I'm not just trying to sell the software. Obviously, it will be great, but genuinely, if they will be successful by using the software and their profitability will go up, they also can be a partner company to us. They can't be a partner company until they have good processes and a great system behind them. So that's my number one, helping other businesses. And anybody who is not any facilities manager or block manager who are not happy with the current provider and they want someone, hungry Hungarian, for example, to look after their assets, then, I'm happy to take on a challenge.
Okay, Lazo, well, we'll make it very easy for anyone who's interested to get in touch with you. Thank you very much for coming on as a guest. It's been a pleasure to have you. So it's Laszlo from Bonus Aventus Maintenance. Cheers, Laszlo.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks very much for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, this podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. On that page, you'll find the link to apply.